It's Shift and Steer. It's episode 265. So get ready because we're ready. I think we are. I think we're going to talk about – I'm getting a new Corvette convertible today. It's being delivered. We're going to talk about
nice. –
I'm going to throw this on you guys. The 2022 911 GT3 is something that I would want to buy.
Dude, it's gorgeous. My wife sent me a picture yesterday. I'm like, what is that?
Normally aspirated. I mean, we're talking. And it's one of the few supercars you can still get with a six-speed manual. So maybe we'll throw that into the mix today. Also, Matt's been out driving all kinds of shit. So we'll talk about that. And he went saw the, you know, the Mach-E. But why don't you tell us who makes this happen for us first, Matty?
Yeah, our friends at Geico. Maybe you guys own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Just visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
And places with your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Oh, and just in case you were wondering, I am in the shop today, as you can see.
I see that.
It's real. So see, it's real.
Look, your fingers disappeared.
No, it's real. I'm really here.
I gotta
and
say,
if you're wondering, that is my El Camino when it was tore apart at Hot Rods by Boyd back in the day, and just kind of give you a little bit of that right there is Smoothster in bare steel. That is the Cadillac that we did back there on the surface plate, and that is a car that Little John Batura had started, all Corvette suspension under it, and that was finished up after John's death by, I'm trying to remember who that went to, a builder down south. You know, it's kind of a little bit of the past sitting behind us today.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. I have to say, it's neat that you can do that. I love the digital world. this is actually my studio. This is actually here.
And I challenge you guys to come up with backgrounds that – are crazy in the next couple of shows. Come on, let's do something. Matt, let's see you at like the Ford factory with Fox bodies built in the background.
I think Matt should be at Hooters and have two girls on both sides of them leaned over with the pizza or chicken wings.
but with masks on. They need masks on.
Right, with masks on. Yeah.
Yeah. And we gotta be we gotta be outdoors as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So you could be at a cafe on the East Coast outdoors with snow piling up, and
you could be in a cafe outside on the deck at Switzerland with two girls with beers in both hands,
ready to go
Germany
ski.
Or, yeah.
So hey guys,
all right.
let's get started. I know Matt's got a bunch of cool cars that he's been driving, and he's gone to some press events. We've got our
marketing. So nothing new.
But exactly, like, nothing new.
How about a quick little announcement first?
Well, that's what I was going to say. We got our marching orders.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, March.
That's March. Right, our marching orders.
That's right,
Matt.
Barrett Jackson Auction in Scottsdale has been moved. It is now going to start the week of March 22nd. It's not going to be in January, typically. They just want to get this thing worked out, get this pandemic thing worked out a little bit more. As we get closer to vaccines and as they start to roll those out, first to frontline workers and things like that. So just to give it a little bit more time, Barrett Jackson's going to move to the week of March 22nd.
I think that this was really smart on their part because January is the height of normally even, you know, you've got the winter months coming in, everybody's inside, and to bring people and ask them to jump on planes or to gather and everything at the height of this, we're having a resurgence right now, and Arizona's actually under lockdown, so they're making a good move. Let's hope that by March everything's straightened out and we can all go there and have a good time and just be able to talk and visit. You guys know that I went over to their last one, and the thing that happened was that everything was very regimented. Everybody had masks. And even up in the skybox, I had four chairs with plastic on either side of me. And I really did see that although they did a fantastic job, it would have been a logistical nightmare to do it open to the public at that point.
You know, you think about how much traffic they get in through their vendor booths and the money generated from that, which they wouldn't be able to do if they did it in January. Also, there's a lot of cars that they want to consign where people probably aren't consigning as much simply because they won't be able to go to the event or are uncomfortable with going to the event. So, to pull off Barrett Jackson the way it should be done, I think March is a much better move than January.
Yeah. I think it was smart. It was good. It was good business on their point and should make for a much better auction.
Right on.
Definitely. Yeah, Tahoe's on full lockdown now, too, that they even announced that they don't want tourists coming up here. So everything's whoop. So got my hair cut yesterday, and it's closed down today.
Okay. Guys, I went out and I drove this Mustang Mach-E. This is an important vehicle for Ford. So Ford has committed $11.5 billion toward EV production.
B?
Yes.
Wow.
Toward EV production and new hybrid. So I believe mostly EV. So an all-electric Ford F-150 is part of that budget. This Mustang Mach-E is part of that budget. The Ford Transit, the vans, the electric vans that are out, the Transit Connects, and I think in the full size, electric versions of that are on this budget, and then several other vehicles that they haven't talked about, which we can expect to be in the SUV range, right? Because they sell so well, electric SUVs. But this is a big commitment from Ford. So the Mach-E is interesting because I went to the unveiling of this thing last year, a big Ford event, and it was here in LA by LAX in a big hangar next to, oddly enough, next to Tesla, like literally like next door to Tesla over by LAX. I think they kind of did that on purpose.
Sure.
They unveiled it. And then I went for a ride with one of the engineers in the vehicle, but it's taken till now to be able to get in and drive one myself. So I know there's a lot of talk about should it be called a Mustang or should it not be called a Mustang. Here's my thought on it, and to keep it short, is if you call it a Mustang, Ford knows they'd have Ford knows they would have
just waiting for the
benchmarks. Yeah. for notes, they would have to have performance benchmarks to meet. And having a high-performance SUV like that is a cool idea. And they're doing it with the GT and the GT performance pack, right? And if you don't like that it's called the Mustang, then forget that it's called the Mustang, and you're still going to end up with a really cool EV.
It's called the Mach-E.
Yeah, right? Just call the Mach-E. Call whatever you want. Call Ford's EV. Like, it's just, it's a cool vehicle. So we went out there, and we drove the standard version, which I think they originally told us it was going to be 0-60 in like 5.5 seconds, but it sounds like they got that down to like a 4.9 or 4.8 is what it's going to be. There's a two-wheel drive and an all-wheel drive version, and there's there's a couple battery packs, so you can get somewhere anywhere between like 210 to 300 or 310 miles. So on these base models, I think they're coming in around the 250 to 300 mile range, depending on how you have it configured. The GT is about 9 months out, and the performance pack, so the GT is going to be 0-60 in like 3.8, and the GT performance 3.5 seconds 0-60.
Now, can I ask the big overwhelming, what did they quote you any opening sticker MSRPs?
Yeah, they're going to start about 40 grand before incentives and go up to about 70,000 for a GT performance pack before incentives. And some states are doing as much as 10,000.
Oh, right? Okay.
That's pretty impressive.
So, yes. So what they're hoping is you can get into one of these things for in the low $30,000 range. I think California still has like a $7,500 incentive, or maybe that's the federal, and then California can go on top of that. But they were explaining it's up to $10,000 depending on what state you live in. When you look at the profile of it and you see the design, you see what they did is they gave it a very cool profile. And when you see it in a brighter color, like Grabber blue or their performance red, it has a very kind of swoopy design to it. It almost looks like a little bit of BMW X4 or Audi Q8 and the new Porsche Cayenne Sport with the Sportback and not the big hatchback. But they're doing that with the painted pieces, but the roof is actually black and goes out further, a little bit boxier.
Or interior room and like that?
Yeah. So the guy who's on the team, one of the product development guys on the team, a wonderful British man who was part of the team, that dude's 6'7", and he sat in the back seat. So for,
wow.
Now,
does he have multiple legs?
Now, well, the back of the seats, a lot of them have little scoop outs too, don't they, for knees and stuff?
Right, and he removed both of his legs.
Oh, they're prosthetics, yeah.
Yeah. So
a lot of the E platforms don't have that center tunnel for the driveline, right? So that the whole back is open, right. so you can get flat footing.
Think about like flat floors, some extra headroom, and. But the size of a Mach-E, to give you some idea, is about the size of a Porsche Macan.
Okay.
Right. So it's not Cayenne, and it's not, it's Porsche Macan, Audi Q5. That's basically the size. But you're right. Once you go to an EV platform and you have that structure underneath, that flat pancake, as they call it, where they got the floors basically sandwiching the battery, was good. And what's interesting is most vehicles have a little bit of extra front weight because the engine's in the front, but because they have the electric motors and it's either rear wheel drive or all wheel drive, their weight bias is in the back, and they have that front trunk, right? They have the frunk, and to compensate that, the entire hatch, which is kind of large, is entirely made out of a composite to reduce weight in the back. So what you're getting is almost a 50-50 weight ratio. And this thing really kind of pivots on center, and it will for the GT as well. And then they realized as they were developing the GT model that the base model was so stiff and handled so well, they wanted to beef up the components. So they basically decided that this, the suspension components, the hard components, control arms and subframe structures on the GT, which were beefier, are going to basically be in the normal model anyway. And the GT is going to benefit from like MagnaRide and a few other things. So they put me in one of the vehicles. I got to hit the autocross in the two-wheel drive, in rear-wheel drive version, which was a lot of fun. And then the all-wheel drive version, I drove from Inglewood at the Forum where we started up PCH through the canyons, Las Flores Canyon, really twisty roads, had a lot of fun with it, and then brought it back. And I'll tell you, it's fantastic. I know, I wish. But we were already late. We were already late in bringing it back. We were having so much fun with it. But
they had GPS trackers, Brad.
Yeah. It really is wonderful to drive. I think you guys are going to really appreciate it. In the EV world, I think it's going to be a contender. You're going to be able to, of course, plug into a 110 outlet, 240 outlet, and the converter for that is built into the vehicle.
That's smart.
So you can plug any 240 into this thing, no problem. Now, you can buy an on-wall charger that's even faster for your home from Ford, but it's going to be much less money than the competitors' chargers that are out there.
And what then, we've learned from driving these cars, these e-cars, is that that's something you have to have if you have an electric car, because if you just plug it into a regular 110 outlet, they take forever to charge.
Yeah. Right. So I have the specs on it. So if you plug into the 110 or 120, whatever you want to call it, you get about 3 miles per hour. So if you absolutely have to, you can plug into a normal outlet. Now, if you just go to the high voltage 240 volt outlet, just a normal plug on the wall, you'll get 20 miles per hour on your charge. Now, if you get to the Ford connected charging station or you put that in your house, you'll get 30 miles per hour of charge. Plus, you'll get battery conditioning, which the box can do, which means if you get into a regular commuting habit and you're going to leave at 8 a.m. every morning, it'll learn that, or you can program that, and it'll warm up the battery for you and get the vehicle ready.
That's cool. Gotta love technology.
And then when you get into the to the fast chargers, like Electrify America is one of the programs that are out there. They have about 500 stations around the nation. They're going to grow to like 850 or 880. And if you plug into that charger, you'll get 61 miles per charge in 10 minutes. So you can charge from 10% to 80% in a 45-minute charge. So if you're driving to Vegas or San Francisco and you can tap into one of these systems, it's great. Their phone as an app thing is wonderful. You can completely control your car from your phone almost anywhere. You can make sure it's plugged in. You can get battery conditioning. You can get it ready for you. You can close the windows. You can lock the doors. All this crazy stuff. Which is, you're going to start to see in more and more vehicles, but you can start to control all of the charging as well.
So you're saying, if I'm in my house and a bear is in my car, I can open the door and let him out.
You can at least
open the window so he doesn't
get in
the
thing up here at all.
Yes. First, we need to address why you didn't lock the doors in the first place.
Yeah.
And then second,
well, because if they want in, they just get in.
They're getting in.
They're getting in.
I see an opportunity here, though, with so many electric cars coming out. Why don't we three develop a cord company where they're wrapped in carbon fiber? They're 1,500-foot cords. So if you really got to make it down to, like, the nearest 7-Eleven a quarter mile away, leave it plugged in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just run those tracks over the road like they do in San Francisco for the trolleys?
It was the worst was, like, the little, like, Radio Shack remote control cars where the remote was literally plugged into the car. You only had about 10 feet. You have to, like, chase the car around.
Those are the cheap ones, yeah.
And they were faster than we were.
And then there was also the little airplane that was on the string, and you have to.
but seriously, when is somebody going to come up with something? I guarantee you it'll happen at some point where somebody comes up with something that just like we have with our phones, where you know you're traveling and you get this booster that you plug in the bottom just to get to the next charger. You're going to see something hanging off the bumper of cars. You know, like you see these people with the little. The electric scooters when they're older people and they have the electric and they've got the trailer on the hitch on the back, it's going to be this big battery pack. It's going to be like,
yeah.
I didn't charge up my battery in the car, but I charged up my battery pack,
So imagine at some point you drive up to your driveway and it's wireless charging, just like we have for our phones.
Well, yeah,
and
they've
stuff,
been
you
trying
know?
To develop that. But I think in the future, we'll see stores where there's going to be some kind of auxiliary battery pack, because very seriously, think about it. If I'm in Orange County, I've got a meeting that comes up, or I've got to rush in an emergency up to LA, and I get up there, I can't sit for 2 hours and wait for my car to charge at some public charging. So if there was like a restaurant that went out of business and that empty store gets converted into this battery drop, you pull in
power drive through,
and you pull into the power store and they plug it in, it bolts to the back hitch on your car, and away you drive.
Brad, you're talking about that, but Tesla did present an option a while back.
Did they?
That they're trying to develop where you would pull up to a Tesla station, and instead of plugging it in, you pull
it
up.
Oh, where it would drop out the bottom, right?
Yeah, it would just unbolt the battery, a new battery in, and then you're on your way. And you don't really own the battery. You just get in 5 minutes, it just replaces
that's brilliant.
The battery that's fully
that's
charged.
Brilliant. Well, if you think about it, too, what it takes, I don't know, depending on what vehicle you're in, it's 5 to 8 minutes, maybe even 10, to fill your car with gas, right, with fuel. So, I mean, that the future is gas stations, so to speak, that they're now charge stations, power stations, where you drive up, plug in for 5 minutes, and you got a full tank, so to speak.
And let's just hope they don't do them together, because you don't want those electric and gas pumps in the same place.
Here's something interesting that Ford has done was we realized that the infrastructure is not quite there when you're doing any sort of public charging, and it's growing. Yeah. The idea of an EV is for commuters and to charge at home. Now, that being said, when you go and charge an EV vehicle, Brad, you've done this a little bit. When they give us press cars, they often give you like a fob, like a little little card scan.
Yeah, a little card and slide through, yeah.
And there's like three or four different memberships, or if you're at this company, or you're at this company, or at this company. So Ford went to all of those companies and said, guys, we want to make this easy for everyone because there's thousands of charging stations and you're all growing. Ford was able to put together a deal with all of the major players. They put all of those like membership cards on the app, on the Ford app on your phone, and then your Ford payment or credit card is tied to your phone. So now you can go to any station, scan your phone, it'll charge your account.
There you go.
Ford built it in that they worked out a discount with all of those companies. So if you are driving one of the Fords or the Mach-E in this case, you get a discounted program because you're basically a member in this case. And now you could just walk up to any one of these charging stations. If it's not a free public station, like a few malls have in Santa Monica and whatever, but any one of those pay stations. So you can check your app. You can find the charge stations. You can find how many are available or if they're taken or not. If there's another car plugged in. And then you can walk up, scan your thing, it charges your account automatically, and you get a discounted rate. And now you have access to thousands of stations. So
makes it
it's helpful, right? And as that grows, as that network grows, it makes it a little bit more feasible. Yep. As we've seen, Brad, there's flaws in the system. There's not enough charging stations. It's not always accurate as if it's showing somebody's plugged in and or somebody has their Camaro parked into a spot that's made for a charge for an electric car and it's not plugged in.
It's so a Datsun 4x4 in my case. I mean, that's
yeah, right. So it can't you can't always figure that out, but. But
where it also
better,
makes sense,
it's getting helpful.
Where it makes sense, Matt, is that they're going to be able to mine demographic information from that because now it's all coming into one location, and they're going to go, okay, we really need more charging stations here because of the population of people that are actually utilizing them, rather than having, you know, just putting them where they think and then it doesn't work out, you know. So that's that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And you mentioned earlier that you're going to be driving a Corvette soon, and one of the big pieces of the Corvette that was interesting was over-the-air updates. A lot of cars are doing that. Of course, in the EV world, that's even more capable. When you're plugging into the wall or plugging into a charger, you can get updates to your vehicle over-the-air as it's charging overnight.
Brilliant.
And that's a big part of what Ford is doing. So Ford has also developed their 360 co-pilot, I think it's called. There's various levels, and it's going to include some form of autonomous driving. So the Mach-E's, they already have all of the hardware installed on the vehicle. And when the new version of that comes out, that's going to happen over the air. Or if you want to, if it becomes something that is sellable to you, you could buy a base model car that doesn't have co-pilot, the autonomous version, not full autonomous, but half, partial. And then later you go, you know what? I had a good year. I got a sales commission, make a little more money, or this is the feature I do want. You could just go to your phone, go to your app and go, send me, you know, I'll pay whatever, $600 and send me autonomous driving. And then like, boom, it's in your car and you got it.
It's brilliant. Just,
yeah. So you'll be able to buy things like that. And updates and stuff for your car as well. So it's very video game-ish now. You're like, oh, I want to buy all these pieces. And we're like, or, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to do that kind of stuff. So anyway,
we're excited to see this. I want to drive one of these. And now, but they also had where you were, they had their race car there too, which is crazy.
Yeah. So
1400, is it?
Yeah, it's the Mach-E 1400. A week or so ago, I had Von Gittin Jr. on CarCast with us. He was telling us all about it. And it was largely an idea that he kind of pitched to Ford. He said, hey, you guys doing a Mach-E? Let's do a batshit crazy one. And they're like, okay. So he and his team at RTR worked with Ford to make this thing happen. And this thing is, I want to say it's got three motors in the front and four in the back, and they're in line. So it's like a disc and a disc and a disc.
Oh, cool.
And then, so there's three there and four in the back. It all-wheel drive. You can drift it. It's various modes because you can change the power. So if you want to drag race it, you can drag race it. You want to drift it. You want to hit a road course. The thing is absolutely insane. He was telling me about it. The videos are awesome. But then when you go and you see it in person, it's got like four Recaro seats in it so you can do ride-alongs. It's got like a flux capacitor in the middle of the console, like the wires going into it. Crazy wings on it. The canards, everything's badass. And it's funny because they were doing the tuning for it. And on paper, they're like 400 horsepower and this crazy amount of torque, and it's going to launch like a bat out of hell. And then he talked about he got into it the first time and drove it, and he's like, guys, I was expecting more, like this just not putting the power down. They're like, it's full power, buddy, this is it. They're like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's there. It's like it seems kind of like a pig. And then they were literally like talking with one of the engineers. It wasn't even there. I think he was like remotely doing the thing. He's like, let me go back in and check. And he's like, Yeah. I got an idea. And he literally just changed some zeros and ones, and he uploaded it. And then he goes, try it now. And he got it. And it just fucking took off. He's like, holy shit. And he goes, what did you do? And he's like, I fixed the glitch. Basically,
and this couple thing. More zeros, few more ones. Yep, he got it.
Listen, Vaughn Von Gittin Jr. has driven some pretty crazy shit. And he said, when this thing was turned up to 11, it scared him initially. And then it just was fun. And I'm
excellent.
I'm sure you guys saw the video of that, the Goodwood event, the big, like, yes, sort of virtual event, like no spectator event. He got on this thing and just like hit the grass and like spun around and got back onto there. And he's like, it was a little scary, but not as scary as you would think. Cause he basically does that for a living. It just wasn't planned. And it's funny because the Goodwood commentators, like Von Gittin Jr., is like, he's getting a little in the grass, spinning around. It's like, not sure if that's intentional. You never know with Von. And then he was taking off. But dude, that Mach-E 1400 is sick. I love to go for a ride in that thing.
Yeah, that thing's crazy.
And just with the way it's configured with sort of, I guess the best way to explain it would be like with straight cut gears and things like that. It's actually loud, but a very loud whine, like electric motor, almost like old school centrifugal supercharger whine, or, you know, to it, which is pretty crazy. Now, the Mach-E has a couple of settings as well, right? They have like a normal setting, a whisper setting, and the unbridled setting. That's what they call it. And it really changes the throttle response. And you can change the sound level in the Mach-E, in the normal Mach-E. But also they have one pedal. They have a one pedal configuration. It takes a little getting used to.
Oh, yeah,
this
I
is
bet.
Kind of cool. This is, you hit the throttle. When you let off the throttle, it applies the brakes for you and hits the brake lights for you. So I'm driving this thing with one pedal.
That's weird.
I'm coming up.
I'm out.
I'm coming up to a stoplight. I get off the throttle. It hits the brakes for me and stops. And I'm like, it's weird because when you're in that configuration and hit the brakes, it's too much brakes. So
yeah.
I played around, but you can turn that on and off. So when you're
off? Off, but there's only one pedal.
No. There's two pedals, of course. There's two pedals.
Okay. Wait a minute.
But there's a configuration for one pedal mode, right?
Got it. Okay. See, I don't know if Brad understood too, but I thought there was just one pedal. I'm like, no, wait a minute.
No.
It's thinking, man, I've come out with aftermarket pedals for these, a dead man's pedals. Yeah. So people go,
yeah, just for your stress level, so you can hit a pedal.
I know,
that's
like, nothing. No yeah. way. What happens in a panic?
Okay. So we've talked 45 minutes about Ford. Now we're going to get into some Chevy stuff, okay?
I'm sorry. We're out of time, Brad.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
So later today,
Ford's awesome.
I've got the 2021 Corvette convertible coming. And nice. As you guys know, this thing has been heralded. I mean, the $66,000 supercar, as I call it, but like 495 horsepower, 470 pounds of torque. I mean, they've got some new things coming for the new year. Like you can order stripes, you can order stinger stripes, which are little detail stripes, some really cool things. I saw one on their website where it was silver with like orange stripes. Really, I dug that. It looked really cool. But 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds, top speed of 194, which I'll verify on the next show if that's real or not. And so that's all I'm going to say right now. I'm really excited about this coming. The convertible just looks really nice. The first Corvette to ever have the articulating top and everything. And
boy, that looks good. Now it's a soft top convertible?
No, it's a hard top. And they say you can do it while you're driving. Did you know that?
Wow. That thing with the head fairings, that thing looks awesome, man.
So,
wow.
So,
those are cool.
So I'll let you know and watch for some photos on our websites and on our social media about that. It should be good. I think it's in I think I'm getting one in a red, which you expect a Corvette to be in.
You know what, guys? Next year?
Yes.
I'm broke next year. There's too much cool stuff out there. The new Bronco, Corvette, you know, the Mach-E. I mean,
well, Bronco's delayed, so you got some time.
Can you imagine if you had like if you're a billionaire and you just, okay, I'm going to order one of these. I mean, you'd just be, then what do you drive?
But do they? I don't know. I see like 8 or 9 Lamborghinis and 4 Bugattis in some of these collections. Like, why be redundant just for the collectability?
There is a difference between
stuff that I can't even drive.
There's a difference between a rich guy and a true car guy, though. Because I know what you mean.
True. It's true.
Some guys just buy what they think they're supposed to buy.
Yeah, no, I'm accumulating a very nice collection of vehicles, and man, I just can't find time to drive them all because something needs something. I'd rather work on it than drive it for some stupid reason.
That's why I sold a bunch, because it never fails. There's a queue that you always drive. You got all these cars sitting there, and you're storing them, and then you drive 2 of them all the time.
And if you don't drive them enough, they start to need more. And that's kind of where I'm at now. They're starting to need more.
And I'll tell you, I'll admit it. The worst thing is, you're replacing batteries or, something that went bad because, like you said, they've been sitting. But the very worst thing is the time I was backing one of my cars in and, you got them kind of close. And I backed it into the other one. And then you go, and then you're like, now I just screwed up 2 cars.
Yeah, I know. It's so much worse. If you backed it into a garage door, you only fucked up 1 car. But now you took down 2.
You're like, do I feel like a dumbass or what? And when you take it to the guy who's going to fix it, they go, how'd these both get? Well, my wife backed into it.
Yeah.
I was guiding her and she didn't listen.
Platinum problems, folks. Platinum problems.
Yeah. All right. Hey, from the WTF category of Chevrolet, what dude didn't look at the 2010 California and Washington state regulations that said by 2021 the copper content of brake pads needs to be less than 5%? Because of that person, now in 2021 you can't buy a Camaro SS, a ZL1, or a 1LE with the big brakes in either of those states because they are banned. They are.
I got news for you, Brad. No one was buying those anyway.
You know what? I got to tell you something.
There was a kid up here who bought a wrecked one.
I'm a Chevrolet guy. I love Chevys. I mean, I love everything. That's my problem.
That's a bigger problem.
There are guys that I wouldn't have anything but a Chevy or anything but a Ford. I wish I was that way because I like Fox body, like everything. But I got to admit, man, I just don't see the Camaro like I do the new Mustangs. Those new Mustangs, do you just look at them and you go, man, those cars look great, And the Camaros look a little fat.
Brad froze.
They could have done so much better with them. Now, the ZL1, I see them on the freeways. I think those are great cars. But, if I was going out to buy something. But I'm not going to buy a 2021 because unless they're on the lots, you're not getting one. And I think they are on the lots because, see – you guys notice that – Matt, have you seen – I see a lot more ZL1 Camaros on the freeways out here than I ever imagined I would. I mean, I see –
because they're the coolest of Camaros,
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's a hell of a lot of car right there, But
– yeah.
It's
– well –
but it's one of those things where it's like we talked off the air. Why don't they just say, well, we'll do a dealer exchange on the brake pads or something like that? And it's like, really? But maybe it's just one of those things of it's really not worth it. We don't sell enough of those cars to have the dealers replace them. I mean, you never know all the inner workings, but you can't buy one unless it's on the lots. So 2022
that's crazy.
Is when you can get another Camaro in California or Washington.
That's right. You go to Arizona or Nevada and get one if you want.
Exactly. I'm on the border.
Pick it up while you're doing your chrome plating and stuff.
Yeah, right? powder coating and your anodizing.
You're picking up your paint to bring it back to California and paint your car and your ammunition for your guns and your assault weapons. You just bring it all back in one big load.
So Matt, did you hear Brad? He mentioned Fox body that he liked it. And speaking of that, I just finished my little section of the C-Tech giveaway. We gave away $20,000 worth of equipment and a trip to SEMA. It's really cool. But I got to say, Matt, in the comments, there was a lot of Fox body love. I got to say, and I don't think it was the same people just posting over and over and over. I'd say there was at least 5 to 8 that I recall, Fox body lovers out there. Cause you had to post your favorite car and then tag 3 friends. And I remember at least five and as many as eight Fox bodies.
Now you say that, right, Aaron, but I've had a Fox body. I've owned one.
Yeah.
That's right. I almost did. I remember in high school, I wanted a Mustang GT, and my buddy had an LX with the GT kit, you know, so it was all hot rod underneath, but it was kind of a sleeper and white. And man, I just thought they drove really heavy back then, like in the late 80s. I mean, literally, that was my dream car in the late 80s. And I drove one. I went to the dealership and I drove one. And I just remember going, man, this thing steers so heavy. It feels so heavy. And I was driving a 58 Alfa Romeo, which weighed nothing. So I went from nothing to from flyweight to super heavyweight, and was like,
I was going to say, what'd you drive to the dealership? Your dad's Ferrari or something? And then
my first car was literally a 58 Alfa Romeo, which was like a Carmen Ghia. I mean, it was, you know, back then it wasn't what it is now. Now they're very, very, you know, amazing cars. I wish I still had it, but dad sold it anyway. So I went from that to that. So it was a terrible comparison. I should have drove, you know, an SUV there.
Hey, let's hit on a couple.
It feels great.
Let's hit on a couple real quick things, guys. Just kind of like, did you guys see that Cadillac is coming out with some sedans, the CTSVs? That you can get in a 6-speed manual.
The CT5 and the CT4.
Thank you. Thanks for the correction.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, it's interesting because there was a lot of hype around those cars coming out, but then it all kind of died off. So I'm waiting to see what's happening with the V models to see if they're going to be able to perform the way everyone's hoping they will perform, because everyone loved the CTS-V. That thing was crazy. But these new ones with the turbo engines and stuff, or whatever they're going to be using.
Black
wing
editions,
is going to be interesting if it's going to be lesser versions of the CTS-V, which was very cool. Just a wonderful sedan with crazy horsepower. It's the four-door Corvette, of course.
There's an interesting fact that I kind of noticed. Then I saw a fact to back it up, which is that Cadillac has actually managed to get a younger audience. They have a lot of
Justin Bieber's
that are skewing into the 30-year-olds. I noticed it in Orange County that I'd see all these young guys driving brand new Cadillacs, and they weren't just, you know, they've had the SUV market for a long time, but I went, wow, is it just, you know, the financing they're doing or what? But they've done something, and you know, performance cars,
the rappers,
because, you know, it's got to be guys that, you know, maybe aspire to other performance sedans, but these are more attainable and they can get the financing, and it might help their brand in the long run if they keep doing that.
Hey, you know, Cadillac makes some cool stuff. I'm looking at that CTS-V wagon, a 6-speed wagon. Okay. You know, I'm digging wagons. I mean, wagons, I mean, being up in Tahoe and all-wheel drive, a lot of the wagons are all-wheel drive up here, so you tend to see them a little more often. The new Audi RS6 Avant, I mean, this CTS-V wagon, I mean, come on, there's some nice wagons. Now, Ferrari FF or Lusso is the ultimate, but, man, I might have to start playing the wagon game.
Those wagons that are approaching – you know, the Mercedes and the Audi that are approaching 600 horsepower and 0 to 60 times in the 4-second range. I mean, those would be great.
That's the RS6, right?
You know,
that's the Audi RS6. Like, we see a lot of Audi Allroads and things up here, but we really don't see those high-end performance ones. And I'm really curious why. We don't see G-Wagons up here. We don't see the Mercedes wagons up here. But we see a lot of the older Avants, the all roads. I see that the RS, not the RS, the A3 wagons, which are pretty cool. And a couple of the Cadillacs, but man, there's, you know, wagons cool, man.
What the part I love is we don't get weather out here. You do, Aaron, our friend Ken Lingenfelter, he often posts, he's like, oh, weather's bad. His two go-to cars when the weather's bad is he has a Porsche 911 Carrera 4S and his Ferrari FF. Right? He's like, oh, weather's bad. Got to drive my Ferrari FF. It's all-wheel drive.
That's like a triple platinum thing. I'd love to have that problem.
And unlike Aaron's weather, that's salty weather. I mean, you know, when you're driving around Michigan.
It's salty up here now, too, though. It's salty up here.
Is it?
Yeah. They salt the roads, unfortunately. Yeah. It sucks. Probably not as bad as back east because we don't see those like 2016 Fords Escape or something with totally like roached out fenders already after like a few years. I remember when we were in Syracuse a couple years ago.
I was just going to say in Syracuse.
Yeah, we saw it. It was only like 3 or 4 years old. And man, it looked like a Subaru from the 80s.
You could see through to the trunk. You know, it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know,
it looked like someone just shot a shotgun along the fender line.
It looked like half the Terminator face where you saw metal and crap underneath. Just like.
I think I have a picture of it somewhere. That was so bizarre. Oh my God. Yeah.
In high school and college in Nebraska, you see cars like that all the time because in this, you know, they've actually got better at rust deadening and, you know, with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But back in the 70s, those things would rust away.
Oh.
I remember this dude
even
in the
80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember this dude in high school had a Monte Carlo and he put his toolbox in the back. And on his way to school, he went around a corner and the toolbox slid. And it knocked the whole rear quarter panel off. It was just like gone, you know? He's like pulled in. He goes, yeah, man, I'd pick up all my tools. I go, what happened to your car? And he goes, oh, it was rusty and it just knocked it. And there was like this giant hole, you know? It was just
My gosh. That's awesome, though. That's awesome. So I don't know if you remember, but I went to school in Lake Placid, New York, and a brief stint in college in Vermont. So, you know, it was always Subarus back there. And that was a real common problem. I'm back there in high school in the '80s, you know, and seeing those fender arches just wasted away. Usually it was the hole like from the bottom up, but the one we saw, it had that trim. Cause I think the trim was plastic. And then above that it was all rotted out. So it had this little floating trim of plastic, but yeah, it was you were notorious for seeing these giant wheel wells of just rusted gone metal, you know?
And it was always, you know, certain cars, like some cars would rust away around the windows. Other cars, like you'd get in, I think, remember GTOs or something, you'd get in and like, you know, your buddy would go, oh, hey, be careful of the floor because it's all rusted out under the carpet. And you'd look underneath and it's just a giant rust hole. And the only thing you put your feet on is the carpet, you know.
Those were the days.
Yeah, those are the days.
When you had to put your feet onto the sides because there was a hole in the middle.
Yeah.
Those were the days, man. When you used to crush beer and soda cans and tape them to the floor to make a floor. Those were the days.
Plywood, like putting it in there, you know? Yeah, I got a piece of plywood there because it's all rusted out.
Sorry, Matt, you're going to have to get a little gray in your hair to be able to experience that kind of stuff.
I got a couple.
Brad, by the way, I'm liking the beard and everything. It's looking nice and full. You look very soft and fuzzy.
Man, let it grow out. We're going to see.
Yeah.
It's hard.
You look very soft and fuzzy. Nice.
Dude, it's hard. It's like I keep saying I want to shave it off, but I'm going to try and see, you know, if I can go till the end of the year. But it just
– Well, here's the thing. Obviously, you got that silver – Fox thing going, but you have to be careful when you lean to the left a little bit because that bare metal car behind you totally camouflage against it. Yeah, it cancels you out.
we're gonna see what happens. We'll see how long I can stick with it. But
looks good. I say you Billy Gibbons that shit, man.
When I finally shave it off, maybe I'll leave some like button chops or something for an episode.
No.
One of those that goes like
those guys
up into the mustache and
just have the big sides, you know, and no, just have the jawline.
Yeah.
Shave the top, just have the jawline. Go full Ooh. Quaker.
Yeah, go with Abraham Lincoln.
Can try all kinds of stuff, man, you know? I'm gonna grow it out and get one of those big handlebar mustaches.
There you go. Well, what's the guy's name?
Come on, dude. Jump in, Matt. You gotta grow one.
Dennis Gage.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
There we go.
He's
awesome. All right, guys. Hey, we're going to wrap it up for this week. And, you know, next week we'll have some more great stuff to talk about.
Always.
And, Matt, where can they even find us online anywhere?
No.
Everything's gone.
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and you can follow me at Moderator. I'm posting, you know, McLarens and Mach-E's and fun stuff like that. I'm going to hit the shop this week and do a little engine building.
Nice.
Yeah, hey.
For the truck.
I'm going to hit the shop this weekend and put a fuel pump in my Yukon.
Sweet. Yeah, buff out those headlights while you're in there.
Hey, I'm gonna head to my shop and make sure an Isetta didn't fall out of the ceiling and crash into anything below it.
I said we were done, but I got to tell you guys this story. So I've changed a million fuel pumps. You guys have too. And I just wanted to see if there was anything because I've never changed a fuel pump in my Yukon. So, you know, like everybody, I Google it, and I found all these videos from guys that the hack for changing a fuel pump in Tahoes and Yukons of that year. And you know what it is? Because these guys didn't want to drop the fuel tank out. They go, you just lift the seat, and here's a template. It's measure this by this, and you just
cut a hole.
All of the welds. Along here and along here, and then you fold the metal up, and there it is. You can just do it without draining the tank or anything. And I'm thinking, oh my God.
Are you going to do that? Wow. You should do that.
Brad, you should do that and make a video.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll be sure to share it. Well, I changed the one out on my Porsche Cayenne years ago, and boy, what a nightmare. BMWs, Porsches, they're under the rear seats, and they're just spaghetti that feeds into the other side. So you're reaching your arm down into the fuel tank, fuel, no fuel, doesn't matter. You're getting stinky and trying to negotiate that blindly. It's a nightmare.
Well, my answer
is it saved me like $2,000.
If GM wanted you to change them like that, they would have put a little trap door there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like the Germans.
I just remember the last time I changed a fuel pump, not in one of my older cars, but in my Mercedes. And I was like, and they want so much at the Mercedes deal, I'm just going to do it myself. And it's the 560 SEC with it's got twin high volume electric pumps. And I had a full tank of gas. And I was like,
oh, well, strike one.
Well, you don't have to drain the tank on that one, right? Because it's external fuel pumps. So I pulled the hose and I got a little pan there. And what I didn't know was that on that one, because it had dual pumps, that the good pump would still keep pumping. And I was like covered head to toe in fuel. I was not a happy guy, man. Get out. It's all burning and it's in your hair. It's everywhere. And you're just like, I'm out in the yard hosing myself down. And I learned,
you smell like gas for like 3 days.
Yeah. It's like,
I think even worse is our old siphoning days of siphoning fuel and swallowing a little bit. And then you're burping. Yeah, then you're burping gas for like 2 days. It is the worst thing ever. Oh, man.
I haven't done that in high school, man. Oh. Siphon gas out of a tank, you know?
Sorry, you're burping lacquer. Yeah.
The worst. All right, guys. Hey, everybody, you can find me, Bradley_Fanshawe, on Instagram. And Aaron, where can they find you?
You can find me all over AaronHagar.com, Aaron Hagar, and then TheRatRunnersGarage.com.
There you go.
I'm getting old, I forget.
Yeah, and everybody, thanks for listening, and give us
Moderator.
A rating on Instagram. Or no, thanks, guys. iTunes.
On iTunes.
I'm telling you, it's COVID brain. We call it COVID brain.
I know.
That's what we're calling it here in Tahoe, COVID brain. Drop my keys, drop my wallet, drop my phone, drop my iPad all in one day. Ran into the wall twice.
Oof.
Maybe I need new glasses. Fun show, guys.
It'll all get back to normal someday, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh! All right, see you guys.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.